have study sheets? Raise your hand. Do not have them. Oh, good job. Everybody set? Got your Bibles? All right. What does the Bible say about the providence of God? The providence of God. What is the providence of God? What do you mean when you talk about His providential care? What does this mean? What does the Bible say? Turn to Psalm 145 tonight. Psalm 145. And I'm going to give you a lot of references. We're going to slow down tonight. I'm not going to try to finish this lesson. I want us to just to take time to look at these scriptures. So I hope everybody's got access to your good King James Bible. And have you a pen in hand where you can underline, make some little notes. And of course, when we come to Bible study on Wednesday night, that's exactly what we do. We study the scriptures. And I want you to study it. And so I want you to bring the tools that you need to properly study. And then these study sheets are after you're finished with them and got them all filled out, they're great for references that you can turn to. A lot of times you'll be talking to people that's got questions and problems in the areas of these Wednesday night studies. These make great lessons that you can give for others. And maybe you might be called upon at work sometime to bring a devotion. And these are things that can be used. They make great family devotion tools at home. A lot of things that you can do with them. But what is the providence of God? Psalm 145. Now look at verse 9. It says, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Now, you could say this like this: the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are all over His works. Because what He's saying to us is, from this we learn, the providence of God is God's care and supervision of His creation. God did not just create and then just back up, as the deist would have us believe, that He just sort of backed up, crossed His arms, and sat back wondering what's this all going to come to. That's not so. God did not just create, but God is involved with His creation. The Bible tells us that he has a compassion over His creation. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that God can even be moved by His creation. That we're taught to pray and we're taught to call upon Him and make known our needs and make known our request. And that God hears and answers prayer and responds. So what is the providence of God? It's the providence of it is the care and supervision of His creation. When you talk about some providential act, it means that some act of a creative God involved in things. When somebody says that you're insured except acts of providence, that's things that's beyond our control. That's talking about the involvement of a supernatural being. It's talking about God. So number two, where do we see the providence of God? Well, what does the Bible say? Turn to the book of Nehemiah chapter 9. Just go back to the left from the Psalms and go to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. Now, we'll be looking at a lot of references tonight, so you might want to, if you're a new Christian or if you some of the books have gotten a little fuzzy to you, you might want to put your finder the index page. It shows where the books are. Stick a finger in there where you can find it quickly, and so we can get to these. But Nehemiah chapter 9, look at verse 6. "Thou, even Thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heavens of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and Thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worship Thee." Underline that, amen. "Thou preservest them all." Now, amen. From this we learn. Where do we see the providence of God? Number one, God's providence preserves and protects His creatures. God's providence. If you're an outdoors person, you're just amazed when you get out into the outdoor to see what God has built in to His creatures for protection. And you know, man has got all the technology in the world, and still he loses 99% of the time. God has provided. God has put things there that He's created in it, and He preserves and protects. Turn to Psalm 36, to the right, to the book of Psalms. Psalms 36. Where do we see the providence of God? Psalm 36. Now look at verse 6. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, Thou preservest man and beast. Where I'm saying that God's providence preserves and protects His creatures. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. God's providence looks down, and God's providence protects. It's interesting, they talk about, when it's something that's all good that God does in providing, protecting, you go to the Smithsonians and they leave God out of it and they talk about nature. And then when it's something that's devastating like a storm, they call that acts of God. And but the Bible teaches us that all of nature is just simply another word for the providence of God. Amen? God provides rules and laws to protect His creatures. And so look at what it says, Matthew chapter 10, and look at verse 29. Matthew 10, verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Even a little sparrow that falls gets the attention of our providential God. Amen? So from this we learn, number one, God's providence preserves and protects His creatures. Now turn to Psalm 104. Where do we see the providence of God? Psalm 104. Psalm 104, now look at verse 27, Psalm 104 and verse 27. He talks about the creatures, he talks about man, he talks about all that men do in their services, he talks about all the creeping things, and then he says this in verse 27, these wait all upon Thee, that Thou mayest give them their meat in due season. Mm-hmm. Now, from this we learn, number two, God's providence provides for His creatures. Amen? God's providence provides for His creature. Turn to your right to Psalm 136. And there are many scriptures for these. I'm just picking out two or three for each one of these points. But Psalm 136, and look at verse 25. Where do we see the providence of God? God's providence provides for His creatures. He says, who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. God gives food to all flesh. That's the providence of God. Amen? All right? So God's providence provides for His creatures. Turn to Matthew chapter 6 for one other reference we'll give you on that thought. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. And He's teaching about worrying and how fruitless and unnecessary worrying really is. And he's reminding us that why do we worry when we have a Heavenly Father that has gone on record telling us that He loves us, that He cares for us, that He'll provide. So why are we so worrisome? But look at what He says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26. Jesus drew an illustration to teach this point. He said, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. They don't go get up and go to work every morning. They don't plant crops. They don't do anything. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? So from this we learn God's providence provides for His creatures. Now, number three, where do we see the providence of God? Turn to Psalm 37. We've said, number one, God's providence preserves and protects His creatures. Number two, God's providence provides for His creatures. And now look at Psalm 37, verse 28. Psalm 37 and verse 28. It says, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints. They are preserved forever." Amen. Amen. Now, from this we learn, number three, God's providence preserves His saints. You've heard of the doctrine, the preservation of the saints. Somebody said, where in the world did they come up with that? Out of the Bible. Be amazed what we get out of the Bible, amen? You'd read it, you'd get something out of it too. Isn't that right? All right? He said that it preserves. God's providence preserves His saints. Look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Psalm 91, look at verse 11. Psalm 91, verse 11. "For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Isn't that good? Amen? Amen? So where do we see the providence of God? God provides. God's providence preserves His saints. One other one on that thought, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. We looked at it a moment ago. We looked at verse 29. Now we want to look at the very next verse in Jesus' teaching about God's preparation for them for their persecution and struggles that they're going to face. He told them that even a little sparrow that falls to the ground gets the attention of their heavenly Father. And then He reminds us in verse 30, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Boy, that's God's involvement in us. Amen? And so from this we learn, number three, God's providence preserves His saints. Number four. Turn to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Very first psalm in the Bible. There are three books that I think Christians ought to read on a frequent basis. We ought to read all of the Bible, of course. But I think there are three books that we need to turn to and read often in our life. And one is the book of Psalms. Because it keeps your praiser in the right order. Amen? Amen? Everybody needs to stop and realize God's good. And God's good to you and me. And in the book of Romans. Because the book of Romans keeps your theology straight. Paul wrote the book of Romans because he was fearful that he'd never get to go to Rome. And Rome was, of course, all roads led to Rome, as was said. And they had a church there, but it was struggling. It had not had any kind of apostolic teaching. It was not growing. And Paul wrote the letter of the book of Romans there to put them on solid doctrinal footing and to encourage them. And so the book of Romans. Now, I may preach through the book of Romans on Sunday night this year, starting in February. I'm praying about that. But book of Romans and then the book of Proverbs to give you wisdom. Those three books we need to read often. Psalm 1, look at what he said. Look at the first three verses. He says, "Blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Don't be listening. Don't let unspiritual people give you spiritual advice, folks. "Nor standeth in the way of sinners." When you find people that's not living right, don't hang around there. You'll get drawn into it. "Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Do not allow yourself to become a scorner of God's work and God's people. But his delight, verse 2, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now look at verse 3. He tells us, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. Now from this we learn, what is the providence of God? God, number 4, God's providence prospers his saints. God wants you to prosper. And if you will work in concert with God, if you will be in harmony with God, God will bless your life. All right? Prosperity will come. So God will prosper his saints. Turn with me to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 24. Where do we see the providence of God? Well, his providence preserves and protects his creatures. God's providence provides for his creatures. God's providence preserves his saints. And God's providence prospers his saints. Genesis chapter 24. Genesis 24. Now, look at verse 48. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 48. He said, and I bowed down my head. Let's see, is that right? Genesis 24. Yes. He said, I bowed down my head. I worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which has led me in the way to take my sister's brother daughter unto his own. Notice he says, has led me in the right way. Underline that. He has led me in the right way. All right? So he's telling us that that God's program directs and God's program prospers his saints. Look at verse 56. Verse 56. He says, and he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. The Lord hath prospered my way. So from this we learn God's providence prospers his saints. Now turn to Psalm 91. Where do we see the providence of God? Psalm 91. Are you following me tonight? Okay. Psalm 91. Just having Bible study, folks. Amen. Just gathering around the Word together. Psalm 91. Where do we see the providence of God? Look at Psalm 91. Look at verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Now from this we learn God's providence protects his saints. He said he features himself like a mother hen. And have you ever tried to reach under a mother hen and get to those little chicks? You'll graduate out of that, I'll promise you. Amen. Amen. All right. I had this when I was a boy. I had a little pet chicken. We had chickens all over the yard out there, but we had a little banny. Who knows what a banny hen is? All right, we had a little banny born. There were little eggs about that big. Had a little banny chicken born in the middle of January, and there was ice all over the ground, and there were actually 4 born, and 3 died through the night, and this little one survived. So I got it in a little box and brought it in the house where it's warm, and I raised that chicken kept it in a pen in the house. By the box and fed it through those cold months. And that little old Banny, I called her Pecky. I'm an original boy with everything. But I'd go outside, whenever I'd walk out in the yard, that little hen be out there feet scratching in the ground with all the other chickens. Boy, the moment I stepped out on the back porch, here that hen just come running hard as it go. And I'd get her and set her on my shoulder, and she's just cutest little thing you've ever seen. He just sat right there on my shoulder and just with me. He'd rather be with me than all the rest of it. Well, she laid some eggs, and she had some little chickens. And so she's over there, and I saw her gather around there, and she and those little old chickens ran under. And that is the cutest little thing, I thought. The little her little pecky is now grown up, and she's a mother, and she's got school. So I went over there, and I reached there to get one of the little chickens. And, buddy, she jumped all over me, pecked my hands, flogged me, and everything else. And had she backslid really bad. You know? But the Bible tells us that God, that He broods over us. He protects His saints. All right, turn to Psalm 140. Psalm 140. Psalm 140. David, of course, was a man of war. And listen to what he says as David is writing in Psalm 140, talking about the providence of God. And look at verse 7. He says, O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. God's providence protects His saints. One other scripture, Isaiah chapter 31. Isaiah chapter 31. God's providence. That's God's care and God's supervision over His creation. He is our Heavenly Father. He is touched by our needs. He has, the Bible tells us that God knows. There is no place that God is not. And it tells us that God is aware. And so, where do we see the providence of God? We see God's providence in the protecting of His saints. Isaiah chapter 31. And look at verse 5. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, He will deliver it. And passing over, He will preserve it. So the Bible tells us that God's providence protects His saints. Number 6. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Where do we see the providence of God? Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now look at verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, where thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And then look down, and for time's sake, let's look at verse 15. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth out of the rock of flint. Where do we see the providence of God? Number 6, from this we learn God's providence directs His saints. God directs His saints. God can still lead, can He? God can still lead in your life. And the Bible tells us that God's providence leads and directs His saints. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16. Where do we see the providence of God? Proverbs chapter 16. Look at verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Isn't that good? Man's heart devises all kinds of ways, but praise the Lord, God directs the steps. Where do we see the providence of God? God's providence directs His saints. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Look at verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Man's goings are of the Lord. You know, God leads you to do things you can't even understand. You can't explain it. You know, so many times God will lead you to defy all rules of normal management. Do things that does not make sense. Do things that's not advisable. Do things that, you know, you're never going to read it in Wall Street Journal as the approach to take. But sometimes God leads you in ways and things that you don't understand, but God, of course, knows exactly what He's doing, doesn't He? And so many times we've seen that in your life, I'm sure. I've certainly seen it in mine when I just know exactly what's right, what God wants, if He'll just sign on. And sometimes you can't get God to sign on. You'll pray and pray and pray, and you'll call across the nation, have everybody else pray, and you'll have organized all-night prayer meeting, and you'll fast and everything else and pray, and God still won't sign up. And then later you find out that the way you did not want to go at all was the exact right thing for you. That is the providential care and guidance of God. So where do we see the providence of God? God's providence directs His saints. Number 7, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I got to working on this morning, got excited. I got to 6 and didn't want to stop there, and then I went to 10. Finally, I stopped at 12, but it's exciting to look at this. God's providence. 1 Samuel chapter 2, and look at verse 7. It says that the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the thrones of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. He hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for His strength shall no man prevail. Now from this we learn, where do we see the providence of God? God's providence, number 7, controls the circumstances in our life. God's providence controls the circumstances in our life. Amen? The things that are going on in your life that you're so fretful of, and things are just not working, and it just seems like, where in the world is God? God controls the circumstances in your life. You know, a lot of times what you want is what God wants you to have, but you're not where you need to be in order to have it. You see, God not only knows what to say, He knows when to say it. Amen? And sometimes we're not that good with that, aren't we? You know, Christians oftentimes can do a right thing, but in the wrong way. And maybe sometime you're trying to help somebody, and maybe they need a gentle rebuke, or they need a word of wisdom, quote, if we could find one. And maybe your heart and motive was totally right in trying to help your brother. But sometimes it comes across, doesn't it? All wrong, and has the opposite effect than what we wanted to have. The Bible teaches us that God knows not only what to say and how to say it, but when to say it. And so the Bible teaches us that God's providence controls the circumstances. God raises up things around us that gets our attention and causes us to be responsive, and sometimes God knows we're not ready to handle it. You know, we all would like to receive $1 million, but it might be we couldn't handle $1 million, amen? And we might be tempted to misuse it or misapply it or start depending on it more than God. And, God raises up those that can handle that and still be right and faithful for Him, and those of us that can't, He keeps us down where we don't have to worry about that, isn't it? So, he's talking about, where do we see the providence of God? God's providence controls the circumstances in our life. You can get so mad at your boss at work, and you can get so mad at all the things around. It doesn't mean that your boss is doing what he ought to be doing, or doesn't mean that he's doing what God wants him to do. But God controls the circumstances surrounding your life. We need to remember that. Number eight, turn to Psalm 31. Where do we see the providence of God? Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Where do we see the providence of God? God's providence preserves and protects His creatures. God's providence provides for His creatures. God's providence preserves His saints. God's providence prospers His saints. God's providence protects His saints. God's providence directs His saints. God's providence controls the circumstances in our life. And then I want you to notice Psalm 31 and look at verse 15. My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Underline, my times are in Thy hand. Look at Psalm 39. Psalm 39. Psalm 39. Now look at verse 5. Behold, Thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before Thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. He said, my days are as a handbreadth. All right, turn to Acts chapter 17. Book of Acts, chapter 17. Providence of God. You hear that term? But what does it mean? What does it entail? Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Now look at verse 26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Now from this we learn, where do we see the providence of God? God's providence determines when we are born and when we die. God's providence. The Bible says our days are as the days of a hireling. You hire on. We used to go to work on the farm. You went to work at 6 and you got off at 6 unless you were driving machinery. If you drove machinery, you drove till you had to use lights to come in. But if you were chopping cotton, picking cotton, 12 hours, you worked from 6 to 6. That was your work day. All right? And so the Bible tells us that our days are like the days of a hireling. There's a check-in date, there's a check-out date on your tombstone in heaven. It's already got on there your date of departure. All right? So the providence of God determines when we're born and when we die. Number 9, turn to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. You say, well, preacher, I knew that. Yeah, I know, but did you know where to go in the Scripture to back it up? Genesis chapter 50. You know this story well that this verse is taken from, and I often quote it and often refer to it. But you remember how that Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. They sold him in slavery, and God, through His providential guidance, has now brought him now to be second in command in Egypt. God has also brought a great famine into the land of where his brother's family lives. And he has led the Egyptians to raise enough grain and store enough grain for everybody. And so now that word has got out, and his brothers have now come before him to request grain to live. And they don't know that it's their brother, of course. They think he's probably dead. And they're standing before him. He immediately recognizes his brothers. Of course, they did not recognize him. And so finally, after playing with them a little bit, he finally reveals to them who he is. When he does, it scares them to death. They know that they dealt treacherously with their brother. They know they deserve to be recompensed for their evil. But listen to what he says to them in Genesis chapter 50 as it applies to our study tonight. Look at verse 20. He says, "As for you, you thought evil against me." I mean, you did this, brothers, to be mean. But God meant it unto good. Amen? God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as is this day, to save much people alive. Now, folks, there are things happen to you that's downright mean. There are things that happen to you that ought not happen to you. There are people that abuse and misuse and mistreat you. And that's not the will of God. God doesn't want your boss to overlook your hard work and hard labor and give it to someone because that person brought him a bigger turkey than you did. And God wants you to be able to be a righteousness that governs the land. There are things that happen. There are people that mistreat you. But the Bible tells us that God's providential care will take those things that were thought to be evil against you and bring about good for you through that. Isn't that a wonderful principle? My, what a safety net. That means that everything that happens to us, even the bad, can prosper us along our spiritual journey if we'll allow it to. All right? So God's providence overrules. Number 9, from this we learn, God's providence overrules bad things for our good. Let me give you two of the scriptures on that. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. God's providence overrules bad things for our good. Philippians chapter 1. Now look at verse 12, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Paul said all these bad things, being imprisoned and shipwrecked and everything that I thought were disastrous, things that I just thought, "God, where are you?" have turned out to greatly benefit the giving out of the gospel. Amen. The providence of God overrules bad things for our good. And then the next verse, you all know it, Romans 8:28. "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are the called according to His purpose." All right? So where do we see the providence of God? God's providence overrules bad things for our good. Number 10, turn to Genesis chapter 8. I'll give you one more. Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. Now look at verse 22. Genesis chapter 8. Now look at verse 22. "While the earth remaineth," so long as there is an earth, seed time, harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Amen. Now you can talk about all the things that man does, but God has said, "Buddy, you're not in charge of this. You just hold on, short stuff." God said, "I'm still the one going to direct that. While the earth remains, it's still going to have seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night, because God's providence overrules bad things for our good. And God's providence, number 10, preserves the course of nature." God's providence preserves the course of nature. Turn to Job 26, the book of Job. Right before the Psalm, in the middle of your Bible is the book of Psalms. Turn left, go to the book of Job. Job chapter 26, Job is in his discussion with his three friends. And so they're talking about things. And look at what he says about God's providence preserving the course of nature. Job 26, and look at verse 10. He hath compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. God has put a boundary around His creation. All right? God's providence preserves the course of nature. And then one final verse on this subject, Psalm 104. Psalm 104. God's providence. Where do we see the providence of God? We see God's providence preserving the course of nature. Psalm 104, verses 5 through 9. Look at what he says. Psalm 104. He says, "Who laid the foundation of the earth, that it should not be removed forever? Thou coverest with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At thy voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth." God is in control. God's providence preserves the course of nature. Let's bow our head tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed.